getting somewhere without stepping on anybody's toes.
Good afternoon, everybody. How you all doing? This is Harley D, and this show's Afternoons with Harley D. Welcome to my show. It's good to be here with you on November 4th. Yeah, it's the 4th. It's already November. Oh my God, I am so screwed. So screwed and so broke. I don't know what I'm going to do for the holidays. This is going to suck. and I'm going to Mexico. I don't know what I'm going to do. All right. Well, let's get into it. Let's talk about some celebrities. Dun, da, da, da. News reports are coming out about this on the set of American Horror Story. It's a TV show on FX, I think. I don't watch it. I'm terrified of scary movies or scary anything. It's not my thing, so I don't do that. But Emma Roberts is starring in it, and then another girl named Gaborone. I don't know how to say her name actually. She's the girl from Precious. Gaborone Sidibe. Sidibe. Couldn't tell you. Well, basically, they got in a huge fight. Well, not a huge fight. Look, they're in a feud right now. But Emma apparently complains about, like, the tiniest things, and she won't speak to the crew members. She's basically a diva, little brat. And a witness told Star Magazine that Gabby finally told Emma to cut her attitude and stop being rude. You know, she's a very, very well-paying actress, doesn't mean she needs to be rude to anybody. And, you know, I work in TV, too, and everybody's got to work together. That's how it should go, because that just makes everything run smoother. When everybody's nice, everything just goes a lot better. So the alleged confrontation between Roberts and Sabidi reportedly prompted the 22-year-old niece of Julia Roberts to switch up her attitude. But, of course, the crew still feels as though she still acts like she's above everyone else. She grew up in a very rich family, and she's probably a very spoiled child. I wouldn't doubt it that she could act like that. This isn't the first time that sources have reported Roberts exhibiting diva-like behavior. Back in August, she tried to skip a long line outside of a famous bakery called Dominique Ansel with her publicist to get a taste of this thing that they sell called the cronut. It's what they're most famous for. I looked it up, and what a cronut is, a croissant and a donut hybrid. That looks good. Oh my God. When I go to New York, I'm going to try that. I'll stand in line for that. It'll be good. So she tried to sneak in front of the whole long line, and of course, she was denied, which was pretty cool. I like it when companies, you know, don't accommodate celebrities. And earlier this month, Jennifer Aniston reportedly had a feud with Roberts over her hard parting and public blowouts, and she also is a couple months ago, or actually this summer, she got actually arrested for punching her boyfriend in Canada. His name is Evan Peters. So Emma Roberts is kind of a mess. She's just a little bit of a hot mess. She needs to her aunt, Julia Roberts, if you don't know who that is, I'm sorry, I should have said that earlier. She needs to slap the crap out of this girl and say, this isn't how actresses act. They act like they're gracious and that they're there and happy and ready to work, not like spoiled little brats. And then this weekend, of course, something happened to Justin Bieber, a little slime ball. He's not a, I don't like him. I was reading on this gossip column called Wonderwall that he was reportedly spotted out walking out of a brothel in Brazil. The article on Wonderwall is saying that the New York Post had pictures, like 19 pictures, in fact, of him leaving this brothel. And it was in Rio de Janeiro. And when I guess he stayed there for 3 hours. And when he finally left, his bodyguards tried to stop the paparazzi that was hanging out in the bushes, stop them from taking pictures by throwing water on them. But it didn't really work. The paparazzi still took pictures of him. I don't really know how they actually know it was him, because the article said he wore a bedsheet over his head to try and hide his identity, which I think is kind of funny. Is that like the bedsheet? He like kicked it in with the little lady from the brothel. Like, that's weird. But so he tried to hide his identity that way. So I don't know how they really know it was Justin Bieber. But I guess they do. He got into the backseat of one car while two ladies from the brothel were spotted getting into another car that drove back to the hotel, singer's hotel. He's gross. Like, that's gross. Like, I don't know. Brothels, just like the idea of a brothel, just freaks me out. Like, I can't even do that. If I ever have a son and I find out that he did that, or if my husband did that, I would just like vomit. I just couldn't. I don't know. Whatever. Ay. Anyways, Charlie Sheen is he's Charlie Sheen. He's an actor. He's pretty troubled past. He's gotten in a lot of trouble for drugs and hanging out with prostitutes, speaking of brothels, and he's not having a good day today again. He has two wives. One is Denise Richards, who's a gorgeous model, and they have two kids. And then he has another ex-wife whose name is her name's Brooke Mueller. And they have a two twin. Her and Charlie have two twins, a set of twins, I should say that, not two twins. But this woman Brooke, she's crazy. She reportedly has overdosed, checked into rehab more than 20 times. She's also been caught on video smoking crack cocaine, attempting to score $1,500 worth of crack cocaine on camera. No joke. She's a drug addict, and she's not a good example of a mom. And rightfully so, she doesn't have custody of the kids. She doesn't have custody of the kids because she has been in rehab since May after overdosing, on methamphetamine. So she's crazy. But she wants custody of the kids. And to do that, she, of course, the judge is making her go through all these hoops. And one of them is she has to take a drug test. And the problem is Charlie's really upset that she only has to take a drug test twice a month. And any meth is a drug that stays in your system for about a couple days. Like, if you can get it out of your system pretty fast. So, you know, if she has planned tests once a month when she knows, or twice a month, and she knows when they're coming up, it's gonna be easy for her to dodge that bullet. But if she has random drug testing, you know, like once a week or every week, she's gonna her number comes up, but she doesn't ever know what day. Like, that would be a lot more sufficient. But I'm not the judge, so I can't really say anything. But anyways. But Charlie's pissed, and he's involved in it, so he can say something. The LA Department of Ch he's pissed about the LA Department of Children and Family Services letting her see the twins unsupervised. In a recent interview blog post, Charlie called the caseworkers inept and retarded douchebags, and he also called Brooke an evil and pathetic Uber, we'll say tart, if you know what that means. Prostitute, but it starts with a W. Said this in the news. Like, that's crazy, but it's just pretty sad for the kids. I think there's two of them and they're four, and you know, even though kids are young, they still kind of know that something's not right and something's going on, and it probably also. You know when your parents are fighting, and it's probably really sad for them. I really hope that Miss Brooke can stay sober and stay off that pipe, because she's got some kids. She's got some kids, and she's gotta take care of them. It's really sad when parents can't handle their kids. I feel like I would hope that if I had problems like that, that I would be able to quit doing something once I had a child. But I don't know. I guess she's, I don't know. I guess drugs are just really hard to get off of. That's what I should say. I really shouldn't be judging anything, because it's not really my place. And then also in other new in Teen Mom News, if you don't know that show, it's on MTV. It's about some women, not women, young women. We'll say they're women, but whatever. who've gotten pregnant when they were teenagers, and now they're moms, and the show follows around the moms and about their dealings with their baby's daddy and all that dramatic things. And one of the original teen moms, Amber Portwood, she just got released from prison. And she was been in prison because she's also crazy. She does drugs, and she was caught on camera, like, beating up her baby's daddy. So it's, I don't know, it's pretty sad. But she just got out of jail. She said, while talking to the media, Portwood appeared to be getting mic'd up for some sort of interview or segment while cameras would be following her. So she must be filming this for money. She has to be. She says, I'm going to college. She said nothing, noting she absolutely feels strong enough to stay clean. I hope so. She has a daughter as well. Her daughter's name is Leah, and she better get her crap straight. Just another mom. It's like, I don't get it. Whatever. But yeah, she just got released from prison. So let's hope that she can stay sober too. In sobriety news today, who else can stay sober? Let's see. Let's see. Nobody. Nobody can stay sober. All right. Well, with that, I am going to take a break. But before I do that, I wanted to talk to you about something that's going on campus this week. We're having something called Shield Day. The ASDU and the senior class are very excited to be hosting this beautiful, long-standing tradition of passing a shield down to the incoming class of freshmen. Everyone is invited to welcome our freshmen to Dominican. It's on Wednesday at 5 p.m., and guests are asked to please dress nice. So I've never been to it. I've said that I'm a first-year student here. I've never been to it, but that'd be really nice. It's probably a very traditional thing, so I hope you attend and honor the traditions of Dominican. This is Afternoons with Harley D. I am Harley D. And get back here for a little bit, and I'll get back here for a little bit. Yeah, that sounds right? Yeah. I'll play, let's see, what are we going to play? We're going to play Dave Matthews Band, Dreams of Our Fathers. This is a good song. Nobody knows this song, but it's a good song.
Can't seem to get out, but who then, who is this that's scratching from the ground? Oh, it's my world too, but whose gold is this? I'm digging out when we go, where we go, when we're dead. Is the verdict still out? Do we get into line to line up with those long dead now with the muffled tears of sorrow? Bones on the ground, is this time out time? Yes, it is, without or with this shadow of doubt. Yeah.
And we're back. Hi, hello. It's Harley D. This is the Afternoons with Harley D. This is my show. We're going to get into some quick news around the Bay and around the world and all that jazz. A hillside estate in Stinson Beach that was the first... Oopsies. Let me turn off the music before I start talking. Thank you. Okay, sorry. A hillside estate in Stinson Beach that was the first house of Grateful Dead icon Jerry Garcia that he bought in Marin County has been listed for sale at $3.995 million, over 60 times more than the late rock star paid when he bought it for top dollar in 1971. The 2,750 square foot single home spread with sweeping views of Marin coastline is being advertised as a luxury estate with a bohemian past, a pitch that refers to the 7 years that Garcia and his then wife, Carolyn Mountain Girl Garcia, lived there in the 1970s with their young daughters. I saw the pictures online. That house, they just had someone come in and redo it. Oh my God. It is so pretty. It's like the last house on the peninsula before you get to Stinson Beach. Oh my God. It is gorgeous. And it has like just windows oh my God. I would die. Now, I don't really care about I'm not a big fan of the Grateful Dead. I'm not really from that time, but I'd still, you know, like to be like, yeah, Jerry Garcia, you know, kicked it over there. Maybe there's some things he left over there. No, probably not, because they sold the house a long time ago. Anyways, this past week, a Marin County jury found Max Wade guilty of attempted murder of a Mill Valley man and the theft of a $200,000 Lamborghini belonging to Chef Guy Fieri. He was also convicted of firing a gun into an occupied vehicle, possession of stolen property, and he was acquitted of the attempted murder of a girl named Eva Dieter, a 17-year-old Tara Linda girl Max Wade liked, as well as a burglary charge. Wade was charged as an adult, even though when he was arrested, he was 17. This kid sounds like a freaking punk. I mean, he was 17 and he was going around just firing guns and riding motorcycles and just stealing things. And he broke into the Lamborghini dealership in the city and rappelled down from the walls to steal this Lamborghini. Like, what a ballsy freaking kid. Like, he doesn't need to be outside. He needs to be in jail and he needs to get a reality check and learn what life's about. And when I was reading the article, in doing the investigation, the police went to a storage locker and found a huge storage locker. That's where they found the car, the Lamborghini. But they found fake IDs. They found driver's license. Obviously, they found fake IDs if they're a driver's license. They found a police officer uniform, which is really weird. Why would he have a police officer uniform? That's kind of weird, but this kid's a jerk. Whatever, he needs to go to jail. I think they said he was facing 30 years in prison, so maybe he'll learn. At the campus of UC Davis, some scary situations happened this week. Police say someone tried to blow up a frat house while the students were sleeping inside. Students living there said they woke up to the smell of gas and a small fire. The stove in the kitchen was letting out natural gas, like, you know, when you turn if you have a gas stove, you turn it on, but none of the flames come out, and it's just, you get that smell. Someone did that and left it on for a while and then started fire. Luckily, the students discovered it before the whole block was blown up, because that could happen. President Obama wrote an article that was published in the Huffington Post this morning in support of gay, lesbian, transgender, the LGBT community, we'll just put it that way. The Senate today is going to vote on a bill called the Employee Non-Discrimination Act, which is a bill that would prohibit employers from discriminating against workers on the basis of their sexuality or gender identity. Current federal law prohibits discrimination on the sex, race, and religion, but it doesn't stop employees from refusing to hire workers because they are gay, lesbian, bi, or transgender. I didn't know that. That's kind of weird. In this day and age, you would think that wouldn't even be an issue, but it is. Obama said it doesn't make a difference if a firefighter that rescues you is gay, or the accountant that does your taxes, or the mechanic who fixes your car. And I totally agree with Obama. When you're, if you need a paramedic and he comes in and you figure out he's gay and you say, oh no, I'm good, I'm gonna die, you're just an idiot and you should be dead. Anyways, this past Friday, I'm sure you heard about it, at LAX, a gunman stormed into a terminal. It was Terminal 3, to be in fact, and shot at point blank range a TSA agent and killed him. The gunman, named Paul Ciancia, is 23, and he apparently was mad at the NSA and the government about multiple things anyone can be mad at. But I'm not mad. I'm not that mad that I'm going to go kill TSA agents. His roommate said that he sent a text message to his family Friday morning saying he was going to commit suicide. His family called the police to check on him, but by the time the police arrived at his house, the suspect had already left for the airport by 45 minutes. Police shot him 4 times, but he is still alive and heavily sedated and guarded at the at a hospital in LA. My boyfriend's sister was flying from LA to up here on Friday, and this happened at 9:30, and she left LAX at 8:45, so she got so lucky that she wasn't in the terminal. That would have been so scary. She was so happy that her flight time was what it was. In Sunnyvale tomorrow, voters will decide whether to support tougher gun control laws. Measure C requires gun owners to notify police within 48 hours of the loss or theft of a gun. Guns would also have to be kept locked up when they weren't in use. Ammunition sellers would keep buyers' names for 2 years, and ammunition magazines with more than 10 rounds would be banned. The NRA says it will sue if the measure passes. NRA just sues everybody if nobody can have their guns. But, you know, people are freaking dying every day, like this morning. Oh, and then this morning, I didn't even write this down, but this morning at the University in Connecticut, the campus was locked down, like, at 11 o'clock because of a gunman. Friday, there was a gunman. Thursday, there was probably a gunman, but I can't think of it off the top of my head. But this is leading into a gun issue. I talked about it last week with the Andy Lopez thing. He was the 13-year-old boy. He's from Santa Rosa, and he was killed by a sheriff's deputy who thought the airsoft rifle he was carrying was real. It happened, I think, on August 22nd. I talked about it last week. First, before I get into that, I actually need to clarify something. I realized what I said last week, and it was really dumb. I said that the officer who shot him was 24, and he's actually not 24. He's a 24-year veteran of the force. My bad. But I just wanted to clarify that. I feel like I should be giving you the right facts. He's an ex-Marine, and he has been in the force for, like I said, for 24 years. And the parents of Andy Lopez filed a federal lawsuit against the sheriff and who else? The Sonoma County Sheriff's Office, basically. They are saying that his Fourth Amendment violations were, I'm sorry, that Andy's Fourth Amendment was violated when he was shot. The Fourth Amendment states that citizens have the right to secure against unreasonable searches and seizures. So I don't really know what that means. I don't get how that has to do with shooting someone because they aimed what looked like a real gun at a cop. I don't really get that. But lawyers have a way of arguing anything, and that's what they're good at. So that's obviously they have a case, because they're not going, they're not going to waste people's time unless they actually have a case, I would hope. Andy's death has sparked a lot of controversy in the community. People have had riots in the streets. I think they had a huge celebration on November 1st, which was Dia de los Muertos Day. It's a Mexican holiday for the Day of the Dead. It's a pretty big holiday in the Mexican community. But I just they I know the family's emotional, but I just like think that they're turning to the wrong situation. I think that they should really be looking to just be at peace, learn to be at peace with the death, and not be. I know this can't happen. I shouldn't even be saying that. I know that can't happen. Your son or your nephew has just been killed, and he was really young, and he died before. And burying your child should never have to be done, basically. But I think it's now they're filing a federal lawsuit that taxpayers are going to have to pay, and that the cop and the county is going to have to go defend themselves. They're going to have to develop a huge case and defend themselves against this. And the cops were doing this out of fear for their own life. As a cop, you have to make split decisions sometimes in 30 seconds, and that 30 seconds can mean your life or your death. And when you're trained, you know, it's something that they try to teach you to be quick thinking. You got to know what you're doing. It's not a joke. So for them to be so upset that they want to have this guy fired, I just think that it sucks. It really sucks that this happened to this family and now they have to pay for it. And this cop is now having to pay for it too, even though he wasn't. I would hope that he wasn't trying to do anything. They were saying on the news this morning that this is becoming like a Trayvon Martin case, like it's becoming a race issue because a lot of the Hispanic community up there it's a huge Hispanic community, and the cops are probably mostly white generally. Maybe that's how they say it. I don't know if that's true, but I bet that's how they see it. And they think that it's a race thing. The initial reports said that Andy had his hoodie over his head and you couldn't see he wasn't facing the deputies and you couldn't see him. So how would they have known whether he was black, white, yellow, red, green? They wouldn't have known. And I just think that this family is like wasting their time. They need to just move on. They need to move on and remember him in a good way, and just go to therapy and go to grief counseling and just be at peace with what happened, because there's being pissed off and being mad and trying to ruin other people's lives it might help you now, but I don't know how it's going to help you in the end. I mean, I've never gone through this, so I have no idea. I've lost very close people in my life, but not very quickly, but not by being shot. But I still think that it's awful, and I think that these wrongful death claims that they've filed don't really it's not helping anything, any other situation, and I don't really agree with it. So I don't know, we'll see. Hopefully something better will come about this. Obviously now the guy is going to have, he's going to be put on administrative leave. He'll probably be paid for his administrative leave. He'll be able to sit at home while we and everybody gets to pay his pay. And he gets to wait for a year or two till the trial happens. And then if the trial happens, it can either ruin his life and he'll be sent to jail for the rest of his life. He'll lose his badge and he'll be a disgraced cop. And the family will be happy and think that they have justice. Or he'll be acquitted and then the family will be pissed. They'll just be pissed. So I just think that people should just forgive and be at peace and try to move on with your life and not worry about what's going to happen with everything like that. Sorry, my computer is messing up. All right, let's move on to some more things. What should we talk about? I saw this. So the Johnson & Johnson, the the drug company. They're ordered to pay $2.2 million in settlement charges because it has been discovered that the company marketed drugs for unapproved uses and paid kickbacks to doctors and nursing homes. The report is saying that Johnson & Johnson basically pushed drugs on elderly, sick, or I'm sorry, elderly and children. So, you know, like ADD medication that a six-year-old needs to be, shouldn't be taking because they're not ADD, they're just children. That was kind of something that they are paying fines for, which 2.2 billion. That's probably not a lot to Johnson & Johnson. That's probably like maybe a little bit of their profit, but like really, like that's not even, I just think that drug companies just shouldn't, they should just be way more punished for the fact that they're pushing all these drugs that are basically legal heroin or legal cocaine and putting it on people and putting it on the street so it's able, so people can take it and then sell it, or their kids can find it and then they sell it and then their friends overdose on it or whatever. I have a big problem with this because a lot of my friends from high school have had a lot of problems with pills. Coming from where I'm coming from, drugs are a big problem, and I've lost a lot of friends, like I said, because of it. So I have a really big problem with this. Hopefully, Johnson & Johnson have learned their lesson. I doubt it, though. They're a corporation that doesn't really have anything to do with being a good company. They're into making money. That's what a drug company is there for. They're not there to do anything else. Let's see. So President Obama welcomed the Chicago Blackhawks today to the what's that place called? Where does he live? The White House? That's the White House. Yep, that place. The Chicago Blackhawks are the team that won the Stanley Cup last night. And they brought him the Stanley Cup and, of course, a jersey. And that is his hometown hockey team. So good for freaking Obama. I'm happy for you, I guess. Maybe you should be worried about some healthcare stuff and then not worry about that kind of crap. I don't know. Maybe. Oh, this is a little public service announcement. Go out and vote tomorrow if you're registered because, you know, it's a small election, but they're not really thinking that voter turnout's going to be that great. And if voter turnout's not that great, then you don't get what you want. Maybe you should get what you want. In if I was living in San Francisco, I would definitely go vote because there's this problem. There's this measure. It's called B. I think it's Measure B or whatever. I don't know. And it's basically a proposal to build a high rise of luxury condos that will start at, I think, $2 million. And parks, and it's basically the problem is that it's gonna block the waterfront. It's right on the Embarcadero, right by that parking lot by is it Red's? I think it's Red's Java House, something like that. It's one of those restaurants. There's a huge parking lot right there, and they're trying to build a huge high rise complex. And the problem I have with it is that it's San Francisco. There's enough expensive housing. You can't even my release is ending in December and I'm trying to find a house, or not a house, obviously not a house. I can't afford a house. An apartment for, you know, less than $2,000, a one bedroom that allows dogs, and nobody does that. It's very, very rare, and I'm going to have to get very, very lucky or else I'm going to be very, very screwed. But you cannot find a house, especially in the city. You can't find a one bedroom. There's no affordable housing, and the affordable housing that there is crap. And so I think that maybe they should, instead of pushing luxury high rises, I think maybe they should give it up to the poor people and give them a high rise of affordable housing. Like, you could put families in there. Not even, you know, it could be a family place, and you wouldn't even have to worry about having what I think a lot of people are worried about with giving affordable housing is that it sometimes brings in drugs and theft and stuff like that, which you can't deny it does happen. But I think that people don't want to put affordable housing because it could bring in the bad people. But I think that if you at least give them a freaking chance. Come on, like the city, like people, so many people want to live in the city and so many people can't live in the city because it's so expensive. I was reading a report the other day, or no, listening to a report the other day about, first one person I remember in Oakland to live in a one bedroom apartment, you have to have 1.2, this is a statistic, so obviously it's a little weird, but 1.2 people have to be working two jobs, getting paid minimum wage to afford that one bedroom apartment. So you basically have to have two people living there in a one bedroom, so they have to share a room, hopefully it's a couple, and hopefully they don't have to go to school or have a life or have children that they have to take care of or anything else. Hopefully they can dedicate 80 hours of their week to working these two jobs that they potentially have to have. And in the city, I think it was 2 point something people had to work three jobs to get a one-bedroom apartment in the city. That's insane. But so I just think that the measure, I would definitely vote against that, because even though the parking lot is ugly and it's not very pretty to look at, it's better than having more rich people in the city. Like, they take over everything and they get to, when you go lease, trying to find a house in a city, they get to take everything because they have all the cash up front. And when you offer all cash up front, of course they're going to lease to you. Of course, if you pay your lease in one month, you pay the whole year in 1 month, of course they're going to lease to you. And they'll probably give you a discount at that too. It's crap. So I just think it's messed up. It's messed up, dude. Messed up. I don't like that. But so go vote. Go voice your opinion. Go do that thing you do as American citizens. Yay. All right. Well, I am going to take uno más breco. I don't know how to say break in Spanish. That's pretty bad. But yeah, you are listening to Afternoons with Harley D. I am Harley D. And this is, what are we going to listen to? This is One Republic. It's If I Lose Myself, Ya Buddy. Come back and see me. Kick, bye bye. We're back. Hello, it's Harley D. This is Afternoons with Harley D, and we are going to get into some sports this weekend. There's a lot of things that happened. But I found this actually a really interesting story before we get to anything about Bay Area or anything normal, I guess. heavyweight boxer Magomed Abu Salamov of Russia, he's Russian, so excuse my translation of his last name, was in a medically induced coma on Sunday following brain surgery to remove a blood clot he suffered in a brutal 10-round loss to Mike Perez on Saturday night in New York. Fight promoter Nathan Lukowskis confirmed the fighter's condition to USA Today Sports on Sunday. The fighter, who came into the fight 18-0 with 18 knockouts, so he basically went 18 rounds, and every person he fought, he knocked out, was in stable condition in intensive care at Roosevelt Hospital in New York City. So this guy went into the fight, 18 rounds, knockouts, every single one, and he got the crap kicked out of him. He had to have a surgery because he got the crap, his head beat up so bad. I just thought that was insane. Anyways, this past week on the Miami Dolphins team, some drama what happened. Jonathan Martin, formerly of a Stanford player, left the team and has not come back because he accuses the team of bullying and hazing him. ESPN had a detailed report that Richie Incognito, he's a player on the Dolphins, had intimidated Martin. ESPN said, among other things, Incognito pressured Martin into contributing $15,000 toward a trip by the lineman to Las Vegas, a trip Martin didn't even go on. The report said Martin feared retribution from Incognito, and that's why he didn't immediately file a formal complaint. Mike Garofalo reported for Fox Sports that Incognito left messages for Martin that were threatening and racially charged. I don't really think this guy, Jonathan Martin, is going to be coming back to Miami. It's probably broken the bond that sports teams are supposed to have and the guys on the sports teams are supposed to have. Houston Texan coach Gary Kubiak is recovering after collapsing on the field last night during their game against the Colts. The team's medical staff, who I'm sure is, you know, world class, responded really quickly to him, took him to an ambulance that was waiting outside, and the team reported on what day is it? Yesterday? The team reported yesterday that he did not have a heart attack. And the Golden State Warriors played the Sacramento Kings on Saturday. They won 98-87. Klay Thompson had a game high of 27 points, and Stephen Curry had 5 3-pointers among his 22 points. The Warriors are the highest scoring team in the NBA. Granted, they're only like 2 weeks in. They averaged 120 points per game entering into the second week of the season. Golden State forced 14 turnovers and limited to 34.5% shooting from the field for the Kings. Looks like the Warriors are going to have a good season. I hope they do. I really want to go to a game. But I looked at tickets today. They're not cheap. On to another Golden State team, the Raiders. They're despicable. They had a horrible weekend. They played the Eagles at the Coliseum. And it looked like, even though the time change was supposed to, you know, help everybody, it basically messed them up all royally. they lost 49-20. And they basically sucked. The Eagles had their backup quarterback, Nick Foles. They didn't even have their real quarterback, Michael Vick. The whole team played so well that Foles tied an NFL record of 7 touchdown passes, and he completed 22 of 28 passes. The Raiders just couldn't keep up with Philadelphia's torrid scoring pace despite gaining 560 yards. Their third most ever and most since 1968. They had one first quarter drive stall in the red zone for a field goal, and they just couldn't catch up in the second half when the Eagles turned a 28-13 halftime lead into a straight kick you in the butt type of festival. Oakland quarterback Terrell Pryor threw for 288 yards and ran for 94 more, but also had two interceptions and took two sacks in his crappy performance. He left the game in the fourth quarter with a knee injury that hopefully isn't serious. He better hope it's not serious. He said after the game that one was just embarrassing. If you ask every guy on this 53-man roster, they'll say the same thing. It's embarrassing. No shit. Oh. I hate losing. It's not acceptable to me, and I don't like it. All the guys in here agree with me. We have to do something about that. It instead of tanking it. What a really crappy game. I can't even imagine. I would be so embarrassed. I remember I was at work and I looked up and I just like wanted to change the channel, and all of a sudden everybody wanted to change the channel. Nobody wanted to watch the Raiders. It was quite interesting. It's pretty sad when your local area doesn't even want to watch the team. In other football news, Seattle escaped with a win against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is winless this whole season, and they didn't do any much great this last Saturday. I think they almost won, but the Seahawks definitely, they had some flaws, but it was okay. Nothing too bad. Well, let's see. In Penguin sports news, this past weekend in Novato, the Dominican cross-country team hosted the 2013 PacWest Conference Championship at Stafford Lake Rossi Farm. It's the first time they ever did that. It's pretty cool. Senior Justin Valdez, who earned PacWest second team honors for the team, or for finishing eighth out of 70 runners. And as the team, the Dominican men finished ninth out of 11 teams with a total time of 2 hours, 36 minutes, 50 seconds, 31 milliseconds. Senior Kevin So finished in 52nd place with a time of 30 minutes, 21 seconds, 4 milliseconds. Very exact. Followed by fellow senior John DeDontius, who crossed the finish line with a time of 30:31.3. Junior Austin Puanawan clocked in at 33:44.1. And sophomore Josef, who was appearing for the first time in 2013, ran a time of 34:55.6. In the field of 84 women, Fiona McKenna powered her way and through the course to finish in 27 seconds better than the next runner, with a remarkable time of 17 minutes, 16 seconds, 1 millisecond. Sorry for that. I plubbed that up. Good job, McKenna. That's freaking crazy. McKenna was also named the PacWest Newcomer of the Year, and the women completed the course in a time of 1 hour, 51 minutes, 43 seconds, 40 milliseconds, on an average time of 22:08.68. Senior Renee Dominguez, who has been sidelined by a injury, fought through the pain. I don't know how you did that, girl. She led the Penguin. She got 55th place. Fellow senior Kendra Woodglass ran a time of 21:48.9, and freshman, there we go, Katie Gomez finished 69th place with a time of 22:14.7. So good girl, good job, girls. That's pretty awesome. I don't know how far they run. I think they probably do like a 5K or something like that. But I don't know. That's good for them. That's awesome. In women's soccer, the team closed out the 2013 season with a 2.2-0 victory over rival Notre Dame de Numa University on Saturday in the PacWest conference play. The Lady Penguins completely outplayed the ladies of Notre Dame. Let's see. The McKenna Kimball put the Penguins up with a leader with a header off the Stephanie Powek corner. Another 42 minutes passed by until the 85th minute when Kimball found Jessica Ramirez, whose shot from 30 yards out went over the keeper's head and scored. Kimball is the team's leading scorer with 15 points the whole season as a result of 6 goals and 3 assists. So she's also that's also a team best. So good job for them. Yeah, buddy. And the women's golf finished up their season. Actually, it was a couple weeks ago, but I want to talk about it because I think that's cool. They finished, I think it was they played 70 golfers. There was golfers. And there was a sophomore. Let me find my info. I don't remember where I put it. Well, there was this girl, she was a sophomore. She shot an 83 and an 82, which is freaking awesome. I think that's so good. And she, and then there were other girls who shot 90s and 93s, and which is still so freaking amazing. I'm so jealous of them. I really want to play golf that well. And also in golf, the Charles Schwab Cup played at Harding Park on this whole weekend. And it played the senior league. And if you don't know what the senior league is, it's I think it's golfers over kind of certain age. I think they're probably in their late 40s, I think. Because Vijay Singh is like 48, I think. That's like the older golfers that are still playing. Their backs haven't given out on them yet. And Freddie Couples won. He's a fan favorite. He's probably the coolest, he's been voted the coolest golfer on the course. Just Mr. Joe Cool. If you ever watch him, he's just kind of got this like way about him. He's just kind of like chill and just way, way down. But he won. And a favorite, Kenny Perry, lost. A lot of people actually were favored for this. But so that was I didn't get to go to it. I really wanted to go to it. I've played at Harding Park before, but I didn't get to go to this because I don't have a life. I had my boyfriend's sister's bridal shower, so I had to go to that. That was fun. But golfing would have been real fun. And the weather was so nice this weekend. Jeez, it's so nice today. But okay, that is it. That is my show for today, November 4th. I hope to have you guys back here next week. That'll be, I think that'll be like something like the 11th, something like that. Hope you all have a good rest of your day. And keep up with all the DJs of radio.dominican.edu. You can go online and look them up and look at all the shows. We have no more shows today, but there's a couple more tomorrow and the next day and the next day. So I hope you tune in, listen to our awesome radio broadcast. Have a great day. Thanks for tuning in to Afternoons with Harley D. I'm Harley D, and I am signing off. Have a wonderful day. In a modern world that can be stolen.